Let's get our Bibles out this morning on this first Sunday of 2014. Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, the church at Corinth was a mess. And if we're not careful, we'll be in a mess too. I tell you right now, if you don't adhere to this Bible, if you're not a student of the Bible, if you don't give place to the Word of God, you'll find out, you'll be very long, you'll find yourself in a mess. The Bible said God's not the author of confusion.
That's right, amen.
The reason a lot of this confusion is going on today is people have put the Bible aside. They're teaching for commandments the doctrine of men.
That's right.
And we'll stay with the Word. Preach the Word. Steady to show thyself approved unto God. Workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'll tell you, buddy Walter, give the most earnest heed to this word. Well, the church at Corinth was in disarray. Paul wrote two letters to this church, and I don't know that he was able to prevail, but I'll tell you one thing, he put forth verbal effort to try to help them. We're going to read one verse this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read the last verse, verse 58. Try our best to bring a message from this one verse on this first Sunday of this 2014, this new year. Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved," that lets you know who he's talking to. He's talking to the brethren, the church. He says, "Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you this morning, Lord, for this beautiful day, even for the hour, Lord, you've given us, Lord, to gather in your house. Lord, no doubt today many have made other choices. No doubt today that instead of Sunday, to them it's fun day. Instead of a holy day, it's a holiday. But Lord, these have put it in their heart. They want to come to church today. They want to hear from heaven today. Lord, we can't give that which we don't have. So I do pray, dear Father, Lord, this morning, you'd give to us to give unto these. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. Confess, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. But yet through you, we can do all things. In Jesus' name we ask for your help. Amen. For a preach this morning, I want to announce a few things and then we'll get right on with the preaching. This new year, this New Year's Day, that we saw come to be. I left out part of my notes here. Hold on here a minute. Here we go. Happy New Year. Found it. 2014. It's now legal to buy dope in Colorado, Oregon, Illinois. It's only $400 an ounce. But to legally buy this legal dope, you got to be 21 years old, no help from your buddy, to buy you some legal dope illegally, hello. Also, this legal dope must not be taken out of the state, no bootlegging of this legal dope. I mean, how gullible are we? How naive are we? There's now an 800 number that you can call and see if you actually have health insurance coverage through Obamacare. You're going to find out more what that means as the time goes along. But NSA now has total access to your iPhone, but Apple said it did nothing to comply with their demands. Nancy Pelosi says no more wasteful spending of taxpayer dollars. So she spent $5.4 million at the end of last year before the government shut down for the holidays to buy booze and glassware. That was hand-blown. It cost $86 a glass. That's your money being spent. $10,000 was spent on how to learn how to properly pole dance. And $1 million was spent on Facebook so you could see if you really got any friends out there. And they were terribly disappointed to find out there was only 2%. They wasn't much, but that's the year you and I have come to be. Lynn Stewart's been released early from her prison term by a federal judge. Her only crime was aiding Al-Qaeda terrorists. Two homosexual men got married January the 1st this year, publicly down in Los Angeles, California, at the Rose Bowl Parade or something like that on a giant float that looked like a wedding cake. One guy said he saw it and it was disgusting. By the way, for what it's worth, it was sponsored by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, your tax dollars again, being faithfully spent. Now they'll be legally married, unashamed. You see, even though California voted overwhelmingly for marriage to only be between one man and one woman, a federal judge overthrew all of that, and just to make matters even worse, here these two flaunt their sin, but the Bible said they'll bear their sin. But what it's worth, so much for global warming, I don't know if you know about what's coming up on this week, but record temperatures are coming. But Al Gore made $500 million on the theory of global warming, so man, what a year he made, plus the $100 million he made when he sold his TV station, and by the way, he had the rest to sell to beat the high-tech laws coming up. He got to pay that $3,000 electric bill that he pays every month somehow. He got to buy fuel for that private jet that he flies all over the place. I mean, man, who in the world would give money to someone like that? Well, someone did. You get $500 million. How about that for a 2014 year encouragement? Some believe in evolution so much that your children are now being taught it in your public schools. Amen. What's the goal, Brother Eddie? To undermine all your efforts to teach them about creation, overthrow their faith and institute doubt so that they can implement a world faith, a one world order. I printed this out. I thought I'd get the jump, and Nathan mentioned this at prayer meeting last night. Bill Nye, he's going to visit the Creation Museum for a public debate. He don't believe in God. He don't believe in creation, but he's going to go up there and see what they put together. I'm kind of interested in that a little bit. Boy, it'd be good if somebody like that wants to see enough of God to get convinced that he's just a man in need of God and repent, get saved. That'd be a good thing. Somehow they'd explain it away. But anyway, they're doing away with incandescent light bulbs this year, so you better buy them while you can before they go up to $8 a piece. I bought two boxes. Thought I was really a big spender. My daughter called me this morning, told me she needed a couple, so I took her two over there. Yeah, incandescent light bulbs, they've been declared a menace to society. Good Lord, huh? How long has it been since Edison invented the incandescent light bulb? Have I got anything broke out on me? I burnt my hand right there. You see anything? I got knots on my forehead. I got lumps on my tongue, coat. Is my eyes crooked? We're so smart. We got to do away with them incandescent light bulbs. We got to somehow figure out how we're going to save ourselves. We're so gullible. Tell you what, Al Gore may be a hypocrite, but he's a wealthy hypocrite. All this is on the pretense of tolerance. We got to figure out how to tolerate all of this. Now that I got all that all out of the way, and I say all out of the way, man, oh man, oh man. It's pitiful. That's the day and hour you and I live in. Well, maybe something like that was going on here at the church at Corinth. And Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Now stop right there. I'm going to preach on the steadfastness that you and I need to be. Amen?
Amen.
And one way you're going to keep going for God, and that's if you become steadfast. The Bible tells you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3, that before the day of the Lord will come, there'll be a falling away first. Listen, I don't mind you falling away. What I mind is me falling away. But I want you to know my mind was made up. I was going to be here this morning. I fought that old flesh. I remember getting up this morning. And even though I made a pot of coffee, Molly, for somebody who doesn't have enough sense to put one in a cup, have it in front of me, and I'm sitting there fighting my flesh, and I'm falling asleep. And I thought, good Lord, I got a whole pot of coffee in there. I went in there and got me a pot of coffee and chug-a-lugged about half that, and finally got stimulated enough I could keep my eyes awake this morning. Man, what have you got to do? Oh, Lord. What have we got to do? You know, it's one thing. I missed it one service, and I had my mind made up. I was going to be there. I mean, I was anticipating and looking forward to hearing David Elk preach. I was looking forward to hearing the good singing. Rick said we're going to start at 5. Come up here and eat. And I'll give you plenty of time to eat and recover from all that eating. And then we'll go down and have some good singing and good preaching. Listen, what bothers me is Brother Eddie missed that. That's what bothers me. You know, I want to be steadfast. I want to be there. The Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 12. See, sin. They've come up with new names for sin. The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's no new thing on the sun. Ask Miley. What's your name, Miley?
Cyrus.
Thank you, Miley. Cyrus. She got some new things. Ask Lady Gaga and Madonna and all them. They got some new things. Matter of fact, they're trying to find some new things today. New ways to pervert themselves. New ways to position or present themselves. I don't know. I mean, I never seen such a sick society as we live in. What really bothers me is we've lost our brush. It don't bother us no more. That's what bothers me.
Yeah.
What bothers me? I'll tell you what bothers me, my cousin boy. We was going deer hunting one day. If you ride with Brother Eddie, you're going to need to listen to preaching the gospel singing, Linda. There ain't going to be nothing else on my radio. He got big and mad. He said, I don't want to hear that. I said, you ride me, you're going to hear it.
Amen.
But he got home with him. He said, what time does church start? I said, it starts at 11. You better be there. He showed up, Brother Vernon.
Yeah.
Sat on the front row, and he didn't make no bones about it. Boy, he hit that altar and said, God, if you have me, I want to rededicate my life. I want to get back in again.
Yeah.
Boy, he got in. I mean, he got in. My cousin did. Yeah. Him and his wife went out there to the cinema to watch a movie. They sat down after paying that high price to watch that movie, and somebody took God's name in vain. He told his wife, said, come on, we're out of here. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
He said, come on, we're out of here. He had a lot of money. He took that money, boy, and he helped a bunch of churches. He put the best sound system ever has been over at Bethel Baptist Church. He got that internet up and going. I want you to know to whom much is given, much is required. And my cousin, he may not be in church today, but I'll tell you one thing, buddy. There for a long time, buddy, he stood 10 foot tall for God. I heard that man sing songs, and I wept, boy. I remember him going to the altar and said, somebody pray with me, my wife's barren, and we want children. And I knelt down and I said, Lord, I'm in agreement with my brother that you'd bless them with a child. Wasn't too long, April was born. Doctor said it's impossible. So God wanted to show himself to be God, gave him another. And Andrew, I was praying for him last night over prayer meeting. Wade, Susan, Andrew, and April. Impossible for her to have children. Things are impossible with men or what? He showed himself to be God. I told my cousin Wade, I said, I want you to look at there. What God put in your bosom. My cousin Wade got down his back. He couldn't even walk. All he could do was just lay. He said, I can't move. We got to pray for him. Got to fasting for him. Guess what happened? He's stronger than I am. He grabbed still, pick up a fruit and take off running with it. Don't tell me God don't honor prayer. I'll tell you, boy, we need to get back to some steadfastness again, amen. Well, I'd like to have that. And old Brother Eddie, like he had, said, come on, we're out of here. We ain't going to sit here and listen to them take God's name in vain. Listen, it's a sad day when we started laughing about jokes about sin. It's a sad day when the church started compromising. It's a sad day when we started being so tolerant that we wouldn't speak against sin.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, boy, there's a prophet come in there one day and cried against that altar. And I tell you what, he said that altar, he said it's going to be tore up. That king put out his finger against that prophet. The Bible said he couldn't pull it back.
Right.
And that king said, pray for me that my hand will be restored. And that man of God prayed and that king's hand was restored. Man, he wanted him to come meet with him. He said, no way, buddy. I got instructions to go back the way I came. And an old prophet come to him, lied to him. Said God told him that he's supposed to come eat dinner with him. A lot of people lie to you. Amen. I'm glad I got the truth, amen. I'm glad I can take the Bible. And I can see whether something's right or wrong. I can take the Bible and see what is true or lie. That prophet said, God told me to tell you, come eat dinner with me. Man, he got there and God got a hold of that old preacher and he said, I lied to you. God didn't tell me to do that. And that guy got him put off a running from his table and a lion met him and killed him. Right there. Boy, I want you to know God ain't changed a bit.
Amen.
I just wonder how many people today, like Ananias and Sapphira, esteemed God so lightly, had so little regard and so little fear for God that they were loose with the words. Loose in the way they conducted themselves and they wasn't steadfast. I'll tell you one thing, boy. I got little precious grandchildren. You better believe, old Brother Eddie, I make straight steps with my feet. There's just too much at stake.
Amen.
You might want to live a loose life. You might want to take chances if you want to. Not me. I want to be steadfast.
Amen.
I want it to be said about Brother Eddie. I'll tell you one thing, buddy. He served his God wholeheartedly. My mama called me a fanatic, and rightly so, may it ever be true. Amen. I'll tell you what, if there could be anything ever said about me, I wish it could be said that I was steadfast. Amen. Jesus said, the love of many is going to wax cold. Oh, I see that today. I really do. From up here, you see a lot of things. You see people. Is he done yet? Good grief. And they back there pushing them buttons on this thing and sometimes it'll make a sound. And one guy got up there, boy, and he put a sign up there, no cell phones in my church, and his was one that went off. Rick said he ended up throwing it out the door, couldn't turn it off. I can't remember what his name was. So it's on the tip of my tongue, that's about as far as I can get it. But he said, no cell phones are out in my church, and his cell phone went off, and there he was. Jesus asked Peter, John chapter 21, verse 15. He said, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter gave him one of them good old Baptist answers. You know what I mean? Lord, you know I love you. One of them good Baptist answers. We're good about that. We say one thing, do something else. Lord, you know I love you. Well, I'll tell you what, boy, we need to be steadfast. Everything's falling apart. Everything's coming down. By the way, when it all does fall, only one thing's going to be standing. It's the church. Amen. You know why it's going to be standing? Because Jesus said on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'll tell you, the church is going to stand. It's going to be steadfast. It may not have a whole lot in it. Now, there might be a bunch of people, and I talked to a guy this morning. He asked me where I went to church. I said, just a little country church. And he said, where I go to church, we got 5,000. I said, boy, that's good. And by the way, he's an Indian from India. Got that red dot between his eyes. You know what I told him, Gayla? I told him, better get that red dot off. Somebody use that for target practice. They come in here. They don't have them red dots on there anymore. They kind of... thought that might be true one day. Somebody come and look for something shooting as a red dot and he might use that for a target. They don't wear them red dots no more. I don't know what it signifies. I think it's supposed to be something with them being married or something. But I said, you better get that red dot in this area around here. It's that guy I wanted to buy your store, Brother Melvin. Jay told me, he said, where I go? He said, we got 5,000 there. We feed them all. I said, that's wonderful, Jay. Where you feed them? I really didn't have time to get theological like I'd like to. We'll have some more conversation about that. But he did open a door for me there, and I will. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. I'll use a little wisdom. I was running a little late this morning. I didn't really have time to get down there where I'd like to get. But Jesus asked Peter that question, you love me more than these. And Peter gave him that good old Baptist answer, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I got 3 points here. The Bible tells us about Peter in Luke chapter number 22, verse 54, that Peter's following the Lord Jesus, but he's following afar off.
Amen.
That's where most of us are today. We're following.
Yep.
Yeah, we're followers of Christ, but afar off. You won't get a whole lot of strength following God afar off.
Amen. That's right.
You'll be weak. You'll be anemic. You won't bear much fruit following afar off. You can plant a plant, and if it don't get enough sunlight, it won't never bear nothing. You can plant a plant and keep it away from the sun. It'll wilt. It won't never amount to nothing. That's about the way we are. We just want a little light. Just a little. Just a little. Just want to do a little. We just want a little recognition. We just want to bear a little fruit. Boy, I'll tell you, this 2014 year, I'm sitting here in my mind right now just thinking all the things that's coming. How convenient it is when there's nothing to speak against it. Boy, the church used to have a voice, Brother Vernon. The government used to consult with the church and said, do we need to do this or not? We have this so-called separation of church and state now. Oh, they know their constitutional rights. Oh, yeah, they sue now. They say that's a unconstitutional. Show it to me. I want to see it. Amen. Yeah. They tried to silence the church.
Amen.
If they could, it wouldn't matter. They can't silence the one that's ahead of it.
Amen.
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 Amen, Brother Melvin. They won't silence him. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about these preachers nowadays, but I never cease to wonder what I hear about them. My pastor shared some things with me last night, made my ears burn and tingle. I don't like hearing it, but it still happens. Peter is following the Lord, but he's following afar off. You know, in Revelation, the first church of the 7 churches that the Lord addressed, the Lord said this to that church. He rebuked it. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You notice that next word? He said, repent.
Amen.
I'll tell you how serious you are about your walk with God. If you're serious, you'll come up here at this altar, at the end of this service today, and say, Lord, let none of that be true. Examine me this day. See if there be within me anything that's not right, where it needs to be, what it ought to be. I'll tell you how you can tell how lukewarm you are. We'll give an invitation in this message. William probably come. He'll probably be the only one that comes. William will come. I thank God for him. But I'll tell you what, buddy, after a message like the one today, don't be surprised if you see Brother Eddie down on that altar, because the same preaching I'm preaching to you is going to me too. The Lord told that church at Ephesus, He said, I got somewhat against you. You've left your first love. That's adultery. Spiritual adultery.
Amen.
The Lord told that church, repent or else why? He said, I'll come take that candlestick away. Verses 4 and 5, Peter here, because he's following afar off, says that those sinners had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down. And he said, Peter sat down also among them. Now, I can see this because the Bible's illustrative in the Scripture here. They kindled a fire, it's cold. Peter's around the wrong company, like a lot of Baptists. The Bible doesn't say to have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. But it says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, and rather reprove them, amen. But we don't reprove them no more. We don't even remind them no more of eternity and hell and judgment and all that. We just say, we're tolerant. We'll make exception. We'll try our best to use words that don't hurt. We'll sugarcoat them. We'll make them somehow a little bit less severe and sensitive. Those sinners, when they made that fire in the midst of the hall and sat down, the Bible said Peter sat down also among them. I thought about Elijah when God said to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9, He said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, he's the worker of God. He's withstood 850 false prophets, 400 prophets of the grove, 450 prophets of Baal. And here he is, one man has withstood 850 prophets, false prophets of Baal. Now one woman sends a letter to him and said, Jezebel sent a letter to Elijah and said, God, do so unto me also if thy head don't come off you by this time tomorrow. And the Bible said Elijah run, and he run, and he left his servant, he kept running, and as he run, he ended up under a juniper tree, and an angel come, the kindness of God, and woke him up, and fixed him something to eat, and said, arise and eat, for the journey's long. Done that twice, the Bible said he went in the strength of that meat, I think it said he went 40 days or something like that, here he is, he's in a cave, he's hiding. And in that cave, boy, he saw some things. They weren't of God. Most Baptists would jump at the very first one. But after those things, Molly had said, there came a still small voice. And Elijah came out when he heard that small voice. And the Bible said he heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord said to him in verse 9, what doest thou here, Elijah? That's where Peter's at. What are you doing here, Peter? I'm warming myself by the fire of these sinners. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about saved people.
Amen.
One of the things it says, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. You know, when you become a saint, they're going to try to label you a goody two-shoe and all of that. One of them Bible thumper, one of them religious fanatics. Yeah. There's some things the Bible said, don't let it be named among you as becoming saints. That's where Peter's at. He's got the wrong company. He's sitting in the wrong place. Don't tell me it won't affect you. I can give you illustrations here this morning of people that's affected. If that wasn't enough, the Bible says that God asked him again on down there a little further. Not only verse number 9, I'm not that smart, so I've got it wrote down here. He said in verse number 13, what doest thou here, Elijah? I hear Elijah saying, Lord, I'm having me a little pity party. I've been zealous for you, Lord. And now they seek my life to take it away. And I am left. I've had them pity parties for. Thank God owed me a favor. Thinking I had a right to have my little pout, my little party. Be down, you know, and thinking I do well to be angry like Jonah. You know, I'm having me a little bad day and I'm telling God it's all His fault. God told Elijah, He said, I got 7,000, boy. I got 7,000 ain't bowed the knee to Baal. I got 7,000 ain't kissed Baal. Don't tell me you're alone. See, sometimes we get caught up in the commotion. Sometimes we get our eyes off of Jesus. When we do, we start that spiraling down. How far you go down, Brother Eddie? Just depends on when you're willing to look back. First ways you'll lose your steadfastness when you start following the Lord Jesus and fall off.
Amen.
The second step of losing your steadfastness will be that company that you keep. Amen, Brother Eddie. Peter's the one that said, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. He went on to say in verse number 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said also all the disciples. Boy, that's good that we can say, well, we're in, Lord. We're all in.
Amen.
Old song. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. There's some people that take Christ with one hand, take the world with the other hand, and somehow make a mega church out of it. They're real successful. They run millions. I'm just glad I ain't part of it. Might not be but a few, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a faithful few, amen. Hallelujah. I'd rather be found faithful in a few things than be found mashed over a bunch of stuff and it not be a God, amen. I'm telling you, boy, there's some people going to have a rough judgment when they try to find a scripture and verse to condone some of the things that they've condoned, amen. Peter said, I'll never deny you. You and I, we think the same thing and maybe even careless enough to say the same thing. Listen, I don't mind you denying the Lord. I don't mind you following your steadfastness. What I mind is when I do it. I fail. It bothered me. Finish out the year. 2013. Finished out the year with my heart. I mean, my heart was set, Sister Anita. I was going to be there. You know what the devil told me, Keith? He said, they won't nobody know you're there. They won't nobody know you ain't there. Why not just take your ease? Don't the Bible say, Brother Bobby, woe to them, they're at ease and Zion. Why is it ease? I took my ease. I went and got in the bed, puffed my pillow up, put my head on it, and I said, take thine ease. And I woke up the next morning and realized I'd been robbed of that blessing. I felt like about like Esau. I wept bitterly and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I've lost my steadfastness. I'll tell you what, boy, I've done me some repenting. Might not have been no big thing with you, but it's a big thing with me. It don't bother me that other people miss. What bothered me, brother, any miss, amen. It bothered me. One of the ways you'll lose your steadfastness by following the Lord Jesus afar off. Another way you'll lose your steadfastness is when you deny Him what you ought to give Him. Bible talks about those three denials of Peter. Verse 57, that maid said, thou art one of His. You know what Peter's answer with her was in verse 57? He said, woman, I know Him not. Titus chapter number 1 verse 16 says, they profess they know God, but in works they deny Him. I'll tell you right now, buddy, we better not deny Him. He said, you'd be ashamed of me. I'll be ashamed of you not coming, amen. I'm telling you, buddy, we need to have some steadfastness, amen, concerning our walk with God. Verse 57, one of them said, surely you're one of His disciples. He said in verse 58, he said, man, I'm not one of His disciples. I'm not one of them. Verse 60 is the worst one of all the denials. There's a man come up to Peter, looked him in the face, and said, man, he said, I know that you was with Him. John chapter 18 tells us that man's name was Malchus, whose ear Peter had cut off, and that he confidently affirmed that Peter had been with Jesus in the garden. And Peter answered verse 60, man, I know not what thou sayest. Verse 61 says, while Peter yet spake, the cock crew. Rick told me the reason preachers like chickens, because that rooster crowed on them. They've been trying to eat them all up. Hey, man, I like chicken. I don't know if that's the reason or not. That cock crowed. Jesus told Peter, before the cock crowed, thou shalt deny thou knowest me thrice. Ain't amazing the Lord had enough love and regard for Peter to tell him before it ever even happened that he denied that he even knew Him. That he denied that He's one of His disciples. But I'll tell you one thing Peter did that I commend him for. The Bible said when that cock crowed, said Jesus turned and looked on Peter. And the Bible said Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, I like that. That's the best thing about Peter. He went out and he wept bitterly. And he said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've denied you. I'm sorry. I fell for my steadfastness. That's what we're missing. We're missing that weeping bitterly. We've become past feeling. We've become void. If I had more feeling, I wouldn't be so concerned. The Bible said in verse number 62, that verse 61, that Peter remembered the words of the Lord. Verse 62 said he went out and he wept bitterly, amen. There were tears coming down his cheeks. He said, I'm sorry. They got a preacher's fellowship coming up this Saturday of a brother Noah Brockman's church up here in Saline, Prince Somerset. You better believe I'm going to be there. Why are you going to be there, Brother Eddie? I'm ashamed about last year. Yeah, I wanted to be here Wednesday night. Yeah, I wanted to be there at prayer meeting last night. Yeah, I wanted to be here this morning. Trying to get back to steadfastness. The devil can't do nothing with steadfastness. I'll tell you right now, when you start being steadfast, you'll find out the devil will move on. He ain't got time to waste. The Bible says don't give no place to the devil. If there's any place in your steadfastness that the devil can find a way to get in there, you'll find out he'll make shipwreck of your faith. He'll ruin your testimony. He'll mar your walk with God. Only one life to live. We better live it for Jesus. This world one day, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 says, fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man.
Amen.
Verse 14 says, for God will bring every work into judgment.
That's right.
Whether it be good or whether it be evil. How's it going to be with you in the end? Paul told that church in Galatia, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Whatever's hindering, let it get it out of the way. The Bible said a man's foes will be there of his own household. I wish my wife was here. I really do. Some people could use that for an excuse. Well, I would, but look at here. The Bible said, put it aside. Whatever's hindering, get it out of the way. You'll never be steadfast as long as you allow something to hinder you from what you're able to do. I wish she's here. I need her here. I've told her. I've prayed about it. I've fasted about it. There ain't no more I can do. But if it affects my steadfastness, that's not nobody's fault but mine. The Bible said Peter remembered the words of the Lord. Boy, you won't never be steadfast if you don't have any knowledge of the Word of God. You won't never have any steadfastness if you ain't got a wealth of the Word of God under your belt. If you can't, from time to time, draw a nugget out from the Word of God, you won't be very steadfast.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you be my disciples, continue in my Word, and you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. John 8, 30 and 31. If you want to be steadfast, I'll tell you one thing. You'll have to be there. You'll have to keep the right company.
Amen.
The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25, not forsaking some of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting. When I'm here, I hope to exhort you. When you're here, you exhort me. You encourage me. But exhorting one another. Jesse, it says, and so much the more. As we see that day approaching.
Amen.
We don't need to exhort less. We need to exhort more. We need to be more steadfast. We need to be more found in the house of God. I don't know who it was said it this morning. I guess it was Brother Melvin. It said that people need to know that we're going to church.
That's right.
They need to know that it's not optional. Joshua told his bunch in his day, choose you this day whom you'll serve. He said, as for me and my house, We're going to serve the Lord. That's steadfast right there. That's steadfastness. This year we're living in, things are falling. Things are failing. Only one thing remains. What are you going to do with this Jesus?
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, buddy. Paul said, I by myself can do nothing. Yet I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If you want some strength this morning in your steadfastness, you're to come up here and say, Lord, I've been struggling with her lately. And I've not been steadfast. Your husbands, I heard Nita mention a little bit there about her husband. She's steadfast in praying and requesting prayer for him. You got a situation at home? You ought to be steadfastly asking God for help. You ought to be steadfastly seeking God for strength to be able to make it through it. May not be no bed of roses, but I promise you this. The Lord promised He wouldn't put no more upon you what you can bear.
Yeah.
He'll give you grace, and if need be, the Bible said He'll give you more grace. We're going to give an invitation here in just a minute, and we'll just see how steadfast you are on this January. What is this, January the 5th? Sunday morning? We'll see how steadfast you are. Father, we thank You for the message this morning. Lord, I pray, dear Father, this morning, this January the 5th, Sunday morning, that we can be found to be doers, not hearers only, of the Word of God. Lord, we don't know how the Word went to others. We just know how it went to us. I do pray, dear Father, this morning, that it can be found in us this year to be more fruitful, more faithful. To be found, Lord, I pray, either coming or going for the cause of Christ. Lord, I know, Lord, there are things that I could have done last year had I had the steadfastness that I needed. I pray, dear Father, this year, I'll be found working, be found going, be found doing. And Lord, I ask for Thy help. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Won't you seriously think about the thought this morning? Just how steadfast are you? Are you that steadfast that you can sit there? Well, I'm good, Brother Eddie. Yeah. Bless you, William. Bless you, Molly. This is a true example of a believer in word and deed. Kneel down if you want to. I'm going to kneel down here and pray myself. I know Eddie Way's just a man. Not much of one, but I am one. Bless you, Gayla.
Lord, I'm going to pray.
You've got a new year of anticipation to see what you can do for the glory of God. God's given you another opportunity to win your neighbor, win your family. I heard a lot of you talk about a lot of your family were lost. Well, if you don't win them, nobody probably will. You ought to get a burden. If you ain't got one, you ought to ask for one. You ought to go to them with tears and say, I don't know what I need to do, but I'm willing to do anything that you might get saved. They might just open up to you. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. I think you got food back here in the back. Don't leave. We'll have a fellowship after the service this morning. And I don't know what the weather's going to do tonight. But we need to give some thought to that also, I guess. Anybody got a word on your heart?
I love the Lord.
Amen.
I thank you for the blood.
Amen.
I hope 2014.
Bless you. Bless you, Molly.
I know I'll be as long as I live for it.
Bless you.
And do what I'm supposed to.
Heaven!
I know that the world's going to come against me.
Oh, yeah.
All of things.
Bless you.
As long as I got God on my side, I can go through the
Amen.
Deepest valley or heaven.
Bless you,
as
Molly.
As long as He's with me in my
Bless
heart,
your heart,
I'll be all right.
Woo!
You know, I can't save nobody, but God can.
Heaven!
I can tell you, but I can't save you. And I truly love the Lord, and that's the only life that I would have for anybody else to have. It's the best life you can
have. Amen.
Like I said, the world might turn you upside down, but you still have a peace in your heart.
Amen, Molly.
That no man can give you.
That's right.
Amen.
And I pray for that.
Bless you, Molly. Appreciate the testimony. We're living epistles. We're all the Bible some people ever read. Some people make their conclusions by your life. They say, well, I want what he's got, or they say, I don't want what he's got or what she's got. It's true. I've actually heard them speak it. Sometimes you just sit there and be still. You hear people speak. Pretty soon they'll get talking about the church and talking about preachers and talk about hypocrites and talk about stuff like that. It's kind of sad. The Lord deserves better. Anybody else got a word on your heart?
I'd like to thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit that He sends and He gives and He fills us with. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the family and deaths and different things, just sadness. We was coming to church this morning and the song, I've Been Redeemed, come on the radio, and no matter what all bad was going on and no matter how hard our feelings was, kids just looked at me like I was crazy. I got to shout and screaming in the car and they got tickled at me. And you know, I just thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Because it doesn't matter what's going on, He can take it.
Yeah, He can.
And just cut it like that and just let us fill it up and let it bubble out of us. And I just needed that, and I'm sure that's why He just gave it.
And Amen.
Thank the Lord for that. Because He's there. It's not just for the shouting times. He's there for the comfort
that's
times
right.
and the other times.
That's right.
Thank the Lord for that.
He's the God of all comfort. Comforts us in all our consolation. Who
I'll
else got a word?
About heaven is when we go to heaven, we don't have nothing to take with us.
Amen.
We go to hell, we'll know everything that was said and done.
It's true.
And there will be no relief whatsoever.
That's true.
And the pain will be so bad, and your friends are not going to be there, or no one else if you thought that was going to be there, and you're going to have a party.
Yeah.
It's not going to
be a screaming party. Suffering
praise
party.
Praise God, there's a place called heaven, and we'll be at peace.
Amen. Amen. Who else this morning? Get an opportunity to start out the new year with a testimony. It's important how you start a year out. Someone said, how have you started a year out? It's how you'll continue through that year. Who else got a word?
Brother Eddie, a verse or two of scripture been on my mind for the last few days, and I thought of it this morning while I was preaching. I thought of it today, yesterday, and just about every day for a week. The apostle, I believe it was Paul, that said, I know in whom I have believed.
Amen.
And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Amen, brother.
And I wonder sometimes what we've really committed to him.
Right.
And so I'm thankful for that. And then I hear the Apostle Paul saying again, and I think of this so many times at the end of the year, and I too didn't go to a New Year's Eve service this year. Of course, we didn't have one here, and things going on, but I didn't go anywhere to one. But I think of this so many times at the end of the year. The Apostle Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Or in other words, he said, I count not myself to have accomplished or overcome and achieved the things that I would like to have done. But when we realize that maybe last year we didn't achieve what we wanted. Maybe last year, as Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, you know. Maybe we didn't reach those places that we wanted to be. Paul said, but this one thing I do.
Yeah.
I forget those things that are behind. Amen. Can't do a thing about them.
That's right. Amen.
I didn't go to the New Year's Eve service, neither did you. We can't do nothing about that.
It's true.
But Paul said, this one thing I do. I forget those things.
Praise.
He said, I reach forward.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
I look forward.
That's right.
So today, I don't make New Year's resolutions. I don't make a big to-do about a New Year. It's just another day. It's the day after the last day of December. It's just like December the 1st was the last day, after November the last day. It's just another new day on the calendar. But we ought to purpose within in our hearts to every day, today, tomorrow, next day, and every day, do the same thing. Purpose in our heart. That what's been done's been done.
Right.
And oftentimes before I close my eyes to sleep at night, I say, Lord, if I have done anything, knowingly or unknowingly, and we can do things unknowingly, forgive me for it.
That's right.
And then I'm reminded that verse of Scripture, that I've committed to Him. I know in whom I believe, and I've committed it to Him. And if I follow the instructions of this Bible, then I can go to sleep and say, Lord, if I live to see another day, help me to do better.
Amen.
If wherein I fail today, help me tomorrow to do better.
Today. Amen.
So that's my desire. And I too, Brother Eddie, I don't know what to do. What can we do to reach people anymore? I think their hearts have become so hardened.
Callous.
And I don't believe that it's all together. And I used to be real bad to throw all the blame on God's people. I don't believe that's all of it. We need to take our share of the blame.
Oh, yeah.
But I believe we've lived to see the time. God tells us in that book that the end is coming.
Right.
He tells us these things are going to be.
Yeah.
And if there was something we could do about all of it, then it wouldn't come
right
to pass.
Well said.
God's plan is going to be just what He said.
Well said.
And therefore, when we can realize that, then all we can do is our little part, and we don't need to put ourselves on a guilt trip.
True. Well said.
I believe that God has been merciful, long-suffering, loving enough.
Amen.
God has not failed in the least bit. And as that old song said, if men die and go to hell, who cares? You know, we need to care.
Oh, yeah.
And we do care, but they make their own choice.
Amen.
And so it's sad when we think about our loved ones. When I think about my brother, Linda was looking at a high school or a school annual. And there was my brother when he was just a little boy. And I looked at him in there and I thought, you know, he's such a good-looking little boy. Wonderful person today. Great personality, just a fun type person to be around. Doesn't do anything bad. Don't suppose he's ever drank in his life. Doesn't use a bad language. Just don't know God and seemingly don't want to know Him. What do you do? But I cannot allow that to drag me down.
Amen.
Amen.
I've got to keep on. And I intend, as you preach this morning, to be steadfast.
Amen.
Unmovable.
Always abounding.
Not going to be shaken. There are some things that will not be shaken, and that's one thing. If we've got what we're doing in our heart and purpose in our heart, the devil can't shake us.
Amen.
He
Amen.
May try.
Amen.
And if we let him, he can, but I don't intend to let him.
Amen.
I want to be And I hope this can be a wonderful year. I pray that we can see things turn around
Amen.
For the better this year. But if it don't, I'm still going on.
Amen.
I'm going on. I set my goal on heaven and what God has prepared for them that love and serve Him. And I do not intend to let anything or anybody hinder me from going there.
Amen.
The only person that can do it is me. So just pray for me that I'll be what God would have me to be this coming year.
Listen, Brother Byron, you really encouraged me what you just said right there, because we do labor in the Word. The Bible does say in the same verse that we read there that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Bible said some got their conscience seared with a hot iron, their past feeling.
Yes.
And you know, we wonder why they don't get saved. It's like he said, it's got to end.
Right.
It's going to end.
Go
ahead. And some people's going to end up dying lost. Some people's going to end up going, like Molly said, leave with the Lord when He comes. Going to end. All things going to have an end. Anybody else? If not, we'll be dismissed. I think I got some food back in the back. I see that. I think I see Molly back there stirring something. We'll go back there and find out. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Thank you again for being here. Encourage me. And Father, we thank you for being able to be here today, Lord, to be able to sit at your table and feast on the things of God. And Father, we pray you'd go with us now as we leave this service. Lord, I pray, dear Father, Lord, you'd go with us every step of the way throughout this day. Lord, may we not go anywhere that, Lord, we'd be ashamed of taking you with us, Lord. And Lord, I pray you bless the fellowship, bless the food, bless, Lord, I pray, what time we have left, I pray to have meaning and depth. And Lord, we pray, Lord, dear Father, that when you come, we'll be glad to see you. Lord, we'll be glad to see you and be ready to leave with you. And all these things we ask, thank you for them. Ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.